Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Proud Stutter has its biggest event ever tomorrow on Saturday, January 25th. We are going to be putting on a panel at the Sundance Film Festival with award-winning filmmaker Reed Davenport, who did the film I Didn't See You There and has an upcoming film premiering at Sundance called Life After. So if you're in the area, please come by, or even if you want to do a last-minute trip. So our event is going to be at the National Ability Center on Saturday, January 25th at 5 p.m. We're going to be joined by a bunch of people in the independent film industry. And yeah, we can't wait to tell you all about it. And if you plan on attending, can't wait to see you there. If you go to proudstutter.org, you can find out more about the event on that. So without further ado, here is my interview with Cody Du. I'm Maya Chupkov, and I'm a woman who stutters. Welcome to Proud Stutter, a show about stuttering and embracing verbal diversity in an effort to change how we talk about it, one conversation at a time. Welcome back to Proud Stutter. I'm your host, Maya Chupkov, and with us today, we have Cody Du. Cody is a person who stutters, a husband and father, a professor, and he's also an avid runner who strives to face life's challenges with patience and humor. Cody is based in Binghamton, New York, and he has a study that was published called How Perceived Communication Skills Needed for Careers Influences Vocational Stereotyping of People Who Stutter. So we're going to get into Cody's stuttering story, how he got into this research, and we're so excited to get that started. Cody, welcome to Proud Stutter.
Thank you, Maya. Yeah, I'm very excited to be here as well and get the chance to talk with you and be on the podcast.
Yes, when I had read through the article that was on your university's website, I was like, this is such needed research. I felt very much seen in the research because I myself have been discriminated against in the workplace. And I think a lot of it has to do with just like the lack of understanding of what stuttering is and just the mis and like assumptions and interpretations of like speech. And so I'm just really excited to dig in. But before we get into the research, I wanted to kind of take a step back and talk to you about your stutter, your experience with a stutter, and what led you to want to study this aspect of stuttering in particular.
I've stuttered for as long as I can remember. Growing up, you know, in grade school, even in through high school, I was always told that I stuttered because I had anxiety. And so I never knew that stuttering was a thing, right? I never knew it was a communication difference, a communication disorder, until I was a freshman in college. And so, you know, once you get to college, your social relationships are different. You know, you have to talk about very specific things when you give presentations, when you're talking to your professors. And so that kind of led me to do some research on my own, like, what is this thing that happens? Like, why do I get tripped up sometimes when I'm talking? And that's how I learned about stuttering. I think the first page I landed on was the Stuttering Foundation, and read through some of their free resources and just learned about this thing called stuttering. And so my first therapy experience was the summer after my freshman year of college. I went to an intensive program. It was 2 weeks long, like 7 hours a day. And that was at the University of T Toledo, where I was attending college, led by Rodney Gobble, who's a pretty well-known professor and researcher in stuttering. After that experience, I decided this is what I want to do with my life. So I changed my major to speech language pathology. Shortly after, I started doing research as an undergraduate with Rodney Gobble, and that continued into my master's program. I, of course, fell in love with working with and helping people who stutter. And so shortly after I graduated with my master's degree, my professor and mentor, Rodney Gobble, he actually moved to Binghamton, New York from Toledo, Ohio. And he asked me if I wanted to, come over to Binghamton and study with him to get my PhD, and to work as a clinical instructor with Binghamton. And so that's what ultimately led me here. Was very fortunate that last year, after completing all of my courses in my PhD program, I was hired as an assistant professor here at Binghamton. Now I you know it's my dream job. I get to work with clients who stutter. I get to do research. I get to teach. I wouldn't have thought, 5 years ago that I would be where I am today. But I'm really glad that I am.
Wow. And congratulations on becoming a professor. That's amazing and such an accomplishment. And so
Thank you.
happy to know another professor out there that's teaching like the next generation of people who are interested in stuttering or just speech challenges in general, and having someone with lived experience. So that's amazing. And thank you for doing all you do for our community. So what made you want to like focus on like the workplace and like stereotyping in the workplace? Because I'm sure there was like so many different things you could have studied around stuttering. Like why this topic?
My PhD program is unique in that it's a interdisciplinary program. A lot of speech language pathologists that I know who get their PhD do so in a communication science and disorders specific PhD, whereas my PhD is in community research and action. And through that experience, I've really learned and have gained an appreciation that the research that I do and that we do, as a academic community needs to have an impact, a positive impact on the people that we're doing research with and doing research for. So I really wanted my research to focus in on something that a lot of people who stutter could benefit from, and that could be easily translatable to someone's life. And Working with Rodney Gabel, one of his specialty areas is stereotypes and stigma. I've worked with him and known him for, gosh, like going on almost 10 years now. And so I wanted to take the research that he's done in the past and that we've done together that I've helped with, and apply it to things that, again, could be easily translatable to help people who stutter. And I think that stereotypes, especially as they come up at work, I mean, most everybody works and has experiences working. And there's more that we could understand about those experiences, as well as why stereotypes exist, in the general population.
And yeah, so I'd love to ask about your first published paper ever, which is amazing. How perceived communication skills needed for careers influences vocational stereotyping of people who stutter. So I'd love if you can talk about your research, like what question were you like trying to investigate and what you found. And this is specifically for like so this is specifically for like assessing communication skills for when you're applying to a job.
So really good question. And first of all, titles for research papers are so difficult. It's so hard to wrap everything up into one in a title. So the question that drove this study was, what factors influence vocational stereotyping? There's a lot of past research that's shown that vocational stereotyping exists, and they've all used this measure. It's a survey called the Vocational Advice Scale, where someone is given a career. There's 43 different careers on the scale. And then they're asked to rate their agreement of whether or not they would advise a person who stutters, who's qualified for that job, to pursue that job. So, strongly agree, neither agree nor disagree, and strongly disagree, is how that's set up. So we know that in the past, certain careers have been less advised over other careers. But the nuance to that, like why is that specifically, hasn't been investigated. So in this study, we made the hypothesis that people advise or advise against pursuing certain careers based on how much communication skill they think is needed for that career. So we added a new scale, a new survey that goes through all 43 careers on that vocational advice scale and asked participants to rate how much communication skill they think is needed to be successful in a career. So we saw, of course, like careers like lawyer, judge, parole officer, Protestant minister, those all received very high. I think this career requires lots of communication skill to be successful in. We saw careers like accountant, computer science engineer, think like engineer, computer software programmer, things like that received much lower scores, where participants felt like those careers needed less communication. And the reason we did that is because, I mean, like I have a friend who's an engineer. He talks a lot in his job, right? He's presenting all the time. But I think when someone who's not familiar with engineer thinks about what they do, they might think, oh, it's someone who's at their computer a lot, doesn't talk very much. So instead of assuming that an engineer does have lots of communication or doesn't, we ask people just to rate, how much do you think this career depends on communication skill?
Yeah, and how is that connected to stuttering?
Yeah, so then we went in and we did a, the fancy terminology would be correlation and a linear regression on, and we compared the rating of communication needed for a career and then the advice that person provided for a person who stutters to pursue that career. So, for example, the hypothesis was lawyer is people are going to say this requires 5 out of 5 communication skill, but we hypothesized that they would that believing that lawyer requires lots of communication would then result in I would advise against a person who stutters to pursue that career. And so that was the hypothesis. And so getting into the results of what we found, we found that in general, the higher the perceived communication skills required, so the more communication someone thought a job required, the less likely they were to advise a person who stutters to pursue that career. Least advised jobs were thought to require most communication skill. Most advised jobs were thought to require the least amount of communication skill.
Yeah, I mean that makes a lot of sense to me. Is there anything that like surprised you as you were going through your research, or was it really like did it like lead to more questions? Like, I guess, yeah, like because that seems like, like if I'm like if like a career advisor at my school, for example, was like helping me out with like what jobs to apply for. It makes a lot of sense that that would be the thought process.
That was another question we had, especially because the people that we were going to be distributing the survey to could be people who provide career advice. So one of the ways, or one of the additional analyses that we did was we asked people, do you provide career advice as a part of your job? What we found is that whether you provide career advice or not, you provide similar levels of advice. So in other words, those who provide advice, those who provide a career advice on a regular basis fall within that less likely to advise careers that require lots of communication skill, and more likely to advise someone who stutters to pursue careers that they think require less communication.
Yeah, like I've interviewed so many people on the show, and so many of them have a job where it requires them to talk a lot. So it's just, yeah. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who got advice and followed it around like other job pathways. Like you're kind of a case study. Like you're a professor, and I'm sure like that is one of the jobs where it has like the highest amount of speaking. Like you literally have to speak in front of a classroom like every day.
And it's things like that, like that's at the heart of this study, is that there's this thing in quantitative research called significance, right? So if you have a significant finding, that's when you know that the question you asked is like you really have something here, like there's really something going on. Now the significance in all of the careers, it was actually really mixed. So you had, some careers that were most advised. It was significantly correlated with low communication, but it wasn't always the case, and vice versa. Whereas you would think that, especially at the high end and low end, that they would all be significant, but they weren't. Funny enough, the most advised career and the least advised career were not significant, significantly related to perceived communication ability. And so what that tells us is there's other things going on, right? Now, there we found that 78% of the reason why someone provided the advice they did was because of perceived communication skill. So even though since significance was mixed, a huge reason for the advice provided was whether or not they thought someone who stutters has good communication, because they're thinking about communication skill. And that's the other thing going on here too, is that we assumed, no doubt, like this is just an assumption, that the reason that you would advise against careers that require lots of communication skill is because you believe you have the stereotype that someone who stutters isn't a good communicator or doesn't have good communication skills, which we know is false.
Yeah,
Um,
exactly.
but it gets that in the general public, people have that stereotype that stuttering is equated with poor communication.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And that's really the first research of that kind of connects the stereotyping of stuttering to having like not strong communication skills.
The first study that connects vocational stereotyping
Got it. Okay.
to communication skills. I think it's always been implied, but there's
Yeah.
other research that shows some of the stereotypes, and even those tend to be mixed, right? Like in general, people don't have an all negative or all positive view. It's kind of like mixed feelings or unsure how to feel, and it's because they don't, a lot of people just don't know what stuttering is, like you brought up.
Right.
You had asked the question of like what were there other questions that came up because of this study, and the answer is yes. First of all, okay, so 78% of the variance is because of perceived communication skills. What else is involved? What are some other reasons then? You're just still left with what, like 22%. That's important to know as well.
And you've been working on another research project on the labor force. I know it's not peer reviewed yet, but can you talk a little bit about the findings? I know you've talked about it at a few conferences.
Overall, I talked with people who stutter. I also talked with speech language pathologists who have worked with people who stutter. And discrimination, microaggressions, ableism, some of those buzzwords that we talk about, those things came up. And people who stutter do have experienced discrimination, overt discrimination, being told, I'm not hiring you because you stutter, Or maybe some covert discrimination, right? Knowing that you are the best candidate for this promotion, but your boss is interviewing people who have been like who are below you in seniority or haven't had as much experience. So you're asking that question to yourself, like, I'm the one who's most qualified. Why am I not being interviewed? And being left to wonder, am I being discriminated against? I will say, though, that people who stutter reported many more positive experiences than negative ones. Everyone had that those few negative experiences, which are, let's be clear. I mean, those are awful, and those really do kind of shape how you feel going forward, as you're looking for work, working, seeking promotions. But there were more often than not more positive experiences reported. And one of the biggest things that was explored as well was how much the negative self-image or the negative self-talk, all those synonyms like self-efficacy, confidence in yourself, all of those internalized belief and those internal thoughts seem to be what held back people who stutter the most. Thinking this interview is going to go really, really bad if I stutter. I'm not going to get the job. I'm going to get laughed at. And then coming out on the other side and saying, you know what, that actually went really well. I wasn't laughed at. The person interviewing me was accepting or neutral, or didn't seem to be, didn't seem to have any negative thoughts about me.
Yeah, and did anything come up around about different people telling the employer about their stutter versus just trying their best to just sound as fluent as possible and not wanting to even mention it for the risk that by disclosing that might, that might prevent them to get the job?
What I was really interested in, when I talked to those same people about their experiences, I asked, well, how did you navigate those experiences? What has helped? Disclosure of stuttering, being open about stuttering, sharing your experiences with stuttering. That was shared by people who stutter and SLPs alike as a very helpful, very positive navigation strategy. All of the SLPs that I spoke with said that their clients who were most successful, who were the least stressed about work, who were most successful in interviews, they saw that they were the ones who disclosed stuttering and who talked about it as a positive trait, as something that, that they were bringing to the table. And not something that would hold them back. There were participants who talked about hiding their stuttering for a long time, as you said, trying really hard to be fluent. And they talked about just that, how much energy and pressure they put on themselves when doing that. And some of those participants talked about doing that for 20 years and then making that change and being open and disclosing and feeling like there's this huge weight lifted off their shoulders. Some participants talked about that was their strategy, and that's what they stuck with. And that's how they wanted to deal with stuttering. And I think it's really important to note here that it's always up to the individual how they want to approach their job and disclosing stuttering and Not every person who stutters had positive experiences when they disclosed stuttering. But that was really the exception and not the norm. Most participants, with most people, whether it be their boss, their coworkers, even clients they were working with, talking about what stuttering is, giving it a name, saying this is what's happening, even adding some humor to it. There was one person who a part of her job was she had to say a pledge that people would repeat after her. So like she would say a line and they would repeat, and she would say a line and they would repeat. And she always opened that up by saying, "Repeat after me, but don't repeat the stutters." And that would get a little bit of a laugh from the people that were doing the pledge. It would get a laugh from the crowd. And it was a way of disclosing stuttering and saying what's going on and saying that, I'm not ashamed of this. It's just something that happens. Using some humor and not being self-deprecating, right? Just I stutter, and this is what it is, and I'm comfortable with it.
My last question about your research, then I want to get into like you're like providing therapy is like from like what is your goal, I guess, with this research? Because I feel like this is so important, and I like my thoughts always go to like policy and like changing like systems and stuff. So is there like an impact or a goal that you ultimately want to make with your research to really, change the way like the workforce treats people who stutter?
There's a whole conversation around this, whether the burden should rest on the shoulders of people who stutter to stick up for themselves, to advocate for themselves. Should it? Is it fair? I'm probably not. But the reality is that burden does rest on the shoulders of people who stutter. It's up to them to advocate for themselves. It's up to them to say what they need at work, and I hope that policies will change in the future as we be, I mean you I think we've all seen it now. I mean, people are more accommodating and accepting of all differences and all disabilities, and I think in general that's a trend that continues. More and more people are more accepting and are thinking about, how can I be more like just like how can I be nicer? How can I be a better human to other people? And we've seen that in the workforce, I think, too. As I spoke with people who stutter in my study. So yeah, that's my thought is that I want to be able to do research that's translatable that can help people who stutter now, and then perhaps it will lead to more policy changes and things like that.
Tell me about the stuttering clinic you have at Binghamton, in addition to the new stuttering research program.
We've had a stuttering clinic for the past 2 years here, and most of my clients have done virtual therapy. So if you're in New York State, definitely reach out if you're interested in therapy. Yeah, I mean, even if you're not in New York State, we're currently working on doing clinic as a research endeavor. And without getting into the specifics, if we mix research and clinic together, we can see really like anyone in the whole country. Things are always being worked on. If you're someone who is like looking for therapy or has wanted to explore therapy options, I would definitely encourage you to, reach out to me, reach out to the Binghamton Clinic. We're always happy to talk with people, and even if it's just like helping you get connected with someone in your area, as well, we're always happy to do that.
So you're a person who stutters and a speech language pathologist and a researcher who studies stuttering. I know there's been a lot of conversations around terminology, and people who stutter ha often say that they don't really like how some of the health field and research field describes people who stutter or describes stuttering in general. Is that something that has come up in your world?
Being both a student and a professor at the same time, I always hate when my professors say this, but I say it a lot myself as the answer to the question is it depends, right? Everyone has their own thoughts and opinions on this, and I don't think anyone is wrong. Because we all conceptualize the world differently. I've taken to Well, if we think about speech language pathology, pathology implies there's something wrong, there's something going on. We deal with communication disorders. When a child is having a hard time saying their S sounds, it's very easy to label that. That's an articulation disorder. That's something we want to get better. With stuttering, it's different. The reality is for most people who stutter, for most people who continue to stutter after childhood, it's a lifelong thing that you have. It's with you for life, and it's something that you'll have to navigate throughout your whole life, and it can look different depending on what stage of life you're in. I've taken to calling stuttering a neurophysiological difference, because we know that there's neurophysiological differences in the brain, right? There's people who are much smarter than me who have done research on brain differences, and there's something really truly different about people who stutter. Now When it comes to is it a disability? Is it a difference? Is it verbal diversity? It's where it gets challenging because for a lot of people, disability has a very negative stereotype, negative stigma. And that could be an hour-long conversation as well. But it's also important to note that as we're talking about work, navigating work, we could very easily bring in like the Americans with Disabilities Act, which requires employers to provide reasonable accommodations to people with disabilities. If we look at how judges have ruled, there's been people who stutter who have sued their employers for discrimination and they've won. If you look at the definition of disability in the Americans with Disabilities Act amendment, stuttering falls right in that definition of what a disability is. So, if we think about disability as a way to describe our experiences and to get the help and the legal rights that we deserve, I think that's a conversation that we should be having is like disability is a way to describe your experience, and that you are at a disability. In communicating at times, right? And that the goal is to make, one of my participants in my research study defined it as making your workplace stutter friendly, building a stutter friendly environment for yourself. That's the ultimate goal. And I think using the terminology that you need to make your workplace stuttering friendly, I think that might be the best way forward, being able to explain to someone what stuttering is in the shortest amount of time possible so that they can understand, hey, this person, isn't anxious, this person isn't shy, this person isn't unintelligent. It's just they stutter and their speech sounds a little bit different. And I think when you bring in the word disability, people tend to understand that a little bit better than speech impediment, for example, sounds very negative. Or it might to some people. It does to me. Speech difference, speech challenge, that makes that is much more neutral terminology. But it might also then make someone ask the question, well, is it a challenge that you need help with? Is it something that we can accommodate for? Whereas like a disability might lend more to, okay, how can I help? What do you need help with? And I mean, we don't know the answer to that question, right? And it's, well, I guess we do. It depends.
Thank you so much, Cody, for being on Proud Stutter. And that's it for this episode of Proud Stutter. This episode of Proud Stutter was produced and edited by me, Maya Chupkov. Our music was composed by Augusto Deniz, and our artwork by Mara Ezekiel and Noah Chupkov. If you have an idea or want to be part of a future episode, visit us at www.proudstutter.com. And if you like the show, you can leave us a review wherever you are listening to this podcast. Want to leave us a voicemail? Check out our show notes for the number to call in. More importantly, tell your friends to listen too. Until we meet again, thanks for listening. Be proud and be you.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.